Welcome to the show on this Thursday morning. Ball fans, Jay fans, walking with a little extra skip in their step today.
Got him! Jeff Hoffman finishes it off, and the Blue Jays come into L.A., take two out of three here, beating them tonight 6-1, and they're up 3-2 in the World Series.
What a ball game.
Dan Schulman and Buck Martinez bringing us joy. Well, we got a night off. No ball tonight, but people are talking today. I mean, today, people are talking the Jays win, Treyu Savage at the plate, the home run off of the first pitch of the game by Davis Schneider, and another terrible version of the Canadian national anthem. I think those are the stories, right, that came from last night's game. Nonetheless, game six back in Toronto tomorrow night. So handing out candy, listening to the doorbell, the trick-or-treat, the knocks at the door, and watching the ball game likely on everyone's agenda for tomorrow night. Well, you know, we on this show, we often will talk about technology and quite often artificial intelligence, because AI is moving at a pace that is so rapid that I really feel from week to week, we could have a segment, we don't, but we could have a segment every week where we bring on an expert in AI, and between episodes, so if we did it on a weekly basis, things would change. It is changing at a pace that is hard to keep up on, whether it's AI-generated voices becoming almost indistinguishable from the real deal, AI-generated actors and musicians. We know that's catching on. Lots of news stories about that. There's all kinds of different avenues that we can look at this from. And so when we can bring a guest in, like my next guest, to help us break it down a little bit and talk about it, I think it's helpful. We've had Chad Jones on our program before. Chad, the CEO of Push Interactions, a former Apple engineer, and we are happy to have Chad joining us in studio again today. Chad, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
So I read this report, a recent study actually from the University of London, that shows AI-generated voices are now, what they're saying, nearly indistinguishable from real human voices. Just give me your thoughts on this. How significant is this?
Yeah, so the technology has gotten so good that when they try to get humans to distinguish between an AI voice and a real voice, they could not tell the difference. In fact, some of the AI voices they felt were more trustworthy, more human than real human voices. So it's gotten to the point, at least with voices now, that it's indistinguishable for most humans. I'm sure some audio files or something like that could probably tell the difference. But it's very, very soon going to be that, you know, you won't be able to tell if a voice is AI generated or not. And for just about everybody on Earth.
You know, when we talk about AI, often people, it kind of either falls into the this is great or this is terrible. Tell me from both vantage points, what's the benefit of this, or maybe what's the worry about this?
Well, this is a tool just like all other technologies, and it can be used for good and bad. I mean, definitely for the bad, you could see scammers using it, for, you know, to scam some grandmother or something. They think their grandchild is calling and asking for money or something. And then bang, that's actually just an AI generated voice. But it does sound like the grandchild, right? And, on the good side, I mean, there can be a lot of things like, there's children's therapy that's using AI voices, for example, that, is helping them through depression and that kind of thing. That's something that, you know, I think was an example of one of the benefits.
So when we talk about AI generated voices, are we talking about, and I'm guessing it's both of what I'm about to say, is it taking an actual voice, a human's voice, and just using it to generate content that they themselves speak? Or is it making up a completely different voice that really doesn't exist?
It can be either or both. I think the ones that people are more concerned about is when they duplicate someone's voice, right? Like they duplicate Taylor Swift's voice and then use it to endorse a product or something like that, right? So that would be more the scarier things, or my earlier example with the grandchild, right? But you can generate how it works is it just needs to kind of learn the patterns of how people talk and doesn't need that much content for that. And then it can learn to simulate a voice voice that sounds like that. And they can also generate voices from scratch, or they can do like an audio changer, like make your voice sound like a teenage girl's voice as you speak. It'll do a real time translation.
So when you look at these things, I mean, you've been in the business, in the tech industry for years. You were a former Apple engineer, CEO now of Push Interactions. Generally speaking, when you view these things, and I've heard you say before on our program, you have to look at it as a tool, but do you see it with worry or with optimism?
A little of both. I mean, definitely there will be people out there that are scammed out of money and stuff like these happen. And of course, there's all kinds of lawsuits about, well, you made, someone that looks like me or sounds like me. You were impersonating me or impersonating a celebrity, something like that. There's definitely a lot of concerns there. But I also think in the long run, there's going to be a lot of benefits from this type of technology. We're not that far off from, you go to Netflix and you watch something, right? But maybe you want to go to a Netflix-like thing and you type in, I want to watch a sitcom with Superman in it and it should kind of have these plot points. And then it would actually generate a series that you could watch based on what you typed in. Like, that's something that's totally possible in a couple of years, which, you know, would be very interesting, I think. You know, maybe the scripts would be very poor, but... It would be an interesting thing.
It's remarkable. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to you say this to me, and it's almost hard to comprehend that we are there. But we are going to talk about that sort of thing and where we're at. We're already on the doorstep of this. And Chad, part of what I like about having you on the program is you usually will send me some homework, and you ahead of time you sent me some links. You know, you might want to watch some of these links. Blows my mind what they can do. So let's talk about Google's new Nano Banana tool that allows anyone to basically combine images and videos easily together. It's basically like editing reality. Talk about this and how it works.
So the combination tool that you mentioned, you basically give it a bunch of images, can be even 20 different images.
So like we're talking pictures.
Yeah. And then it will combine them together, either make an image or if you prefer an actual video of the person. So let's say you take, Taylor Swift and a 1929 vehicle and maybe, a funny outfit and, some other things like, there's a birthday cake or something, and it would actually generate a video of like, her holding the birthday cake and wearing that outfit, driving in the 1929 vehicle. That's what it would do. That's something that happens right now. Like, you can go to Nano Banana and do that right now.
Do you need, can you do this with a basic computer, or do you need some sort of special software technology in order to do this?
Well, this is all done on the Google Cloud side. So Google servers are doing the work to generate the image. It's not about your computer. You would just use a typical desktop computer. I think you can even use your phone, for example, because all the heavy lifting is done on Google servers. It's not done on your computer. And, it might take a minute to generate. But then, you've got your 1929 vehicle with Taylor Swift in it.
You know, so I was looking at the links that you sent me last night, and I think about, there's so many different ways I look at this, but let's say you meet your favorite celebrity and you want to take a picture and you take a selfie with that celebrity. I can recreate that. In fact, I can make it look like the celebrity and I are not standing there arm in arm, but we're clinking glasses and having fun at a dinner party. You can create that right away. I feel like it is completely altering and shaking our view of what reality is.
Yeah, you can totally generate, we could put you on a cruise ship and then you're there with Mark Zuckerberg and a whole bunch of other celebrities and you're all clicking glasses. That kind of video can totally be generated in just a number of minutes, and you would just upload their photos, your photos, and describe that, you want to be on a cruise ship with clinking glasses, and it would do it.
So this tool that you talked about, Nano Banana, it's called, it's under the Google umbrella. Is that the cutting edge of this technology, or are there other comparable ones that do this?
There's comparable ones. So it's like an arms race right now. Nano Banana, it came out, and now there's another one called Sora that's, you know, it's almost as good and, but better in other ways and stuff. So it's very much an arms race. The big companies, like Google and others are putting tons and tons of money into this and tons of R&D because they want to be the winner in this space, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's very, very much an arms race. So as you said in the introduction, I mean, if I sent you the links, not, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago, I would have sent maybe different links if I sent them last night. So yeah.
It changes so rapidly.
Yeah.
So we are seeing pushback. I think about the, what was it? Tilly Norwood. Is that the mm-hmm. actress that was totally AI generated? Some fairly heavy and loud pushback from the acting world, the entertainment world. Your thoughts on how the reaction is to this, is that going to slow it down or is that only going to drive it forward?
So in California, they are coming out with legislation that's going to basically block this type of thing. They don't want, you know, it's kind of what the strike was about, the strike. But the problem is that, yeah, you can make legislation within California or whatever jurisdiction you want. They'll just go outside of that jurisdiction and still do it, right? And I can definitely see for the industry some, you know, major benefits. For example, you could have, like a child actor that never ages, for example, right? And so, you know, that's something that you can do with AI, an AI character, an AI generated person that you can't do with a real person. Obviously they might be paid less, this type of thing, which is obviously what they're concerned about. I know, for example, Emily Blunt came out and said that this scares her. This keeps her up at night, these type of, mm-hmm. of AI generated characters.
Chad, are you going to stick around? I want to take a break, but I still have a few things I want to talk with you about. Actually, a couple of texts that have come in that I want to slide by and get your thoughts on as well. Chad Jones is my guest, CEO of Pushkin Interactions. He's a former Apple engineer, and we're talking AI and the rapidly developing world that we are seeing unfold when it comes to that. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. So, Chad, this song that we're listening to, Frank generated on AI. Pour Some Sugar on Me, but this is an AI-generated song. Mm-hmm. It is crazy what you can do with, you know, you want this singer to sing this song. I mean, you could have Johnny Cash singing Biggie lyrics.
Yep, absolutely.
It's fascinating what you can do. And as much as it's entertaining, you know, for you and I to say, oh, what would it sound like if this happened? I can see why the music industry would get twisted over this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the movie industry as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really something. My guest today, Chad Jones, joining me in studio, CEO of Push Interactions, former Apple engineer. So recently we saw an Amazon outage that had a mm-hmm. lot of people online talking about how these cloud services are kind of a monopoly and potentially. So that outage, I mean, it was grinding things to a halt on a lot of different platforms. Yeah. Is it a monopoly? Is it a concern, do you think?
It is right now. I mean, if you go back 15 years, most companies would serve their own websites or they had a, you know, there was a many, many different providers. Right now, it's really gotten to the point where the three big providers, Amazon AWS, Azure, which is Microsoft, and then Google Cloud. Those three together, they represent 65% of the market in terms of, you know, basically what people are connecting to. So for example, when you load up Snapchat and you start using that, you're using Amazon AWS, which is why Snapchat went down, right? Right. Yeah, and the actual outage, it's kind of like there's a phone book thing, the DNS that you use to get from, you know, the apple.com or the google.com to get to the IP address. And that, phone book, if you will, was, they made a mistake on it. And, that led to the big outage that happened recently.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots of people, I've just read lots of online, whether it was articles or just conversations, you know, in chats, there was a lot of people that were frustrated and say, this is the problem with the monopoly. I got a text mm-hmm. here from Travis that is talking about Grok AI in the new Tesla. He said it takes potty mouth and inappropriate conversation to a whole new level. Is it known for that, that particular version of AI?
I haven't heard that myself, but I could definitely see that being true, but I don't know. I don't know the details of that.
Yeah. Okay. The last point I wanted to bring up to you, and this is one, you know, just when I think I can't be surprised, I am. And this is the conversation of the possibility of bringing back an AI version of a loved one who you've lost, essentially an AI twin. So where this made the news recently is Alan Hamill, who was married to Suzanne Summers. She passed away in 2023. He is in the process of essentially creating her AI double.
How does this work? Yes. So it, just like the other technologies, it's using, you know, content of when she was, they're actually, he's trying to make it kind of like her back when she was on Three's Company, the early years. And they're using content, audio and video from then to make, you know, basically a clone of her. So maybe she would act again or something. Who knows? Right. They're also doing this. There's a company out there that, let's say you did lose a loved one. They can generate AI, even a chat bot, but it's generating like for the actual funeral service, they would generate like, that person speaking, right? And it's not something the person previously recorded. It's something that, you know, maybe they had written in a letter or something. And then they turn that into, that person speaking at the funeral of, you know, how much they appreciated whatever, that kind of thing. Wow. Or they, as I said, they've also done chatbots where people can come speak to it, and then if the person gave a kind of a bunch of question and answers ahead of time, then you can actually interact with it, and it'll almost have like a real human feel, so like you're talking to that person again.
It's, you know, I mean, it's really blurring the lines, isn't it, Chad? Because, you know, I can picture all of the reasons why people would be concerned about this, because, you know, what Evan Bray says while I'm here alive and speaking, I have no control over what my future Evan Bray AI twin says. It comes down to what's programmed, who's in charge of that. I mean, there's lots of moral considerations with this.
Yes. Well, it is your AI twin. It's not you, but still, you know, people might not even know the difference, right? So it's a real problem.
It's fascinating. This whole topic is fascinating, which is why I always appreciate having guests like yourself that are willing to come in and chat about it. Chad, thank you so much for giving us some time. I know we'll have you back in studio again.
You're welcome.
Chad Jones, the CEO of Push Interactions, former Apple engineer, and I'm amazed at AI. I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm fearful of it, but I am someone who's very inexperienced using it. I know the basic steps of that. We are going to talk more about this and a bit of a tutorial on how basically it can be used in your everyday life with the conversation that we have next week on our program. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.